Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 One World Human Rights Documentary Film Festival. Very pleased to be joined by director Matthias Heder, who is presenting his film Pre-Crime at the festival. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about the movie? Just introduce it for us.
Pre-Crime is a film that deals about the technological development concerning policing and big data, because police work more and more depends on big data analysis. And so how the whole project started was me and my wife, we make these films together, having breakfast, reading a newspaper and watching a very small article about Chicago Police Department that uses an algorithm to identify people and put people on a list. And we just looked at each other and couldn't believe it. And it was a feeling like, oop, this is just too much. And that is how we started to investigate the whole aspect of predictive policing.
But it's kind of frightening, right?
That was the feeling we had. Actually, there were two things. One is you have this Hollywood narrative, which is pre-crime and Spielberg and science fiction. And then you have ordinary police work. And suddenly these two things just merge. And a new social reality comes out of it, which is predictive policing. And predictive policing aiming at individuals. This is really scary.
It's the real life aspect that's probably the most frightening.
It definitely is. And, you know, I had many discussions, and I remember one discussion at a screening at Hot Dogs. People asked, they don't believe the film. They thought the whole film is staged. And we told them, listen, guys, there are two scenes that are staged, which is true. But the basic idea, this is a documentary film about what's going on these days.
But you do kind of play with the style a little bit, in the sense that you do kind of, it does feel like it could be a fiction.
Yeah, it's, of course, you know, the idea of Hollywood, video games, television, all these aspects merging to one, I don't know the English word for that, for one big thing. Yeah. And this is our reality. And in this context, to identify structures that are already existing and aiming at the future, that was what we were interested in. And so we, of course, choose a visual style that reflects TV, like Person of Interest, that has moments of Watch Dogs, the computer game, as much as in the whole setting, of course, it's a little bit thriller, it's playful, because we don't want to be boring. Yes. In terms of people sit there and say, oh God, not again. No, it must be, you know, it must have some drive to watch it.
Sure. But another thing that I was surprised by watching the documentary is how internationally this is happening. So were you surprised by that?
To be honest, in the beginning, we had no idea something like predictive policing even exists.
Yeah.
And then when we started doing research, we couldn't believe it, how fast it is marching. There's all bigger police districts in the U.S. and all federal states do work with this type of programs. They do work with this type of programs in London, in Germany. They are different, okay? But we are organizing police work around big data. And what is really heavy is what's happening in China with the citizen score that they are introducing until 2020, which means every citizen gets a score. And this score is given by your behavior. What are you shopping? What is your favorite TV show? What kind of movies are you in? How do you drive? Because everything is organized via the net. And so the Chinese government is just collecting masses, oceans of big data.
Yeah, again, it's very frightening. Once you're on a list, like a watch list, you're on that list.
You're on that list. Robert McDaniel, our character from Chicago, he was on the list with, I don't know, 315 points out of 500. And he had never a chance to get off the list. So I asked the police director of Chicago, what do I have to do to get off the list? And he answered, don't commit crimes. But not committing crimes is not recorded anywhere. So this poor guy is still on the list.
Yes, Robert, and you have...
Smurf.
Smurf, yeah. How did you meet them?
Robert was the only one when this whole thing of Chicago heat list came up in 2013, he was the only one who was ready to talk to the press, because all the others on that list just getting away, because he felt treated in an unfair way. Because the only reason he ended up on the list was that a good friend of him was shot. And since put on this theory of networking, which is a part of the Chicago Heat list, his score just jumped up. Mm-hmm. And so he had never any chance to get out of it. The same as with Smurf. You know, in the UK, the black young boys, they are starting to be controlled when they are 7 or 8. Hanging out in the streets, getting drunk, stuff like that. Not really heavy stuff.
Yeah, it does seem like they're targeting a specific class of people.
At the moment, I mean, basically, I think personally, it's targeting at the poor. Mm. Now, they happen to be black, you know, or Asian or whatsoever, but it's aiming at the poor because nobody needs them. Mm. And since they are not supported in a way to have a better life or to have any kind of perspective in their life, the only task of policing is to keep them down. So how do you keep them down? You are basically hinder them to live normal lives in terms of not being surveyed by the police.
Yes. But can you kind of understand that fear or that the origins of it, like the problem, the source?
I mean, look at Smurf when he says at one point of the film, "We are watched all the time." That is something we know that from the literature, from the scientific literature, which is called chilling effect, which means if a citizen has the feeling that he is constantly observed or monitored in one or the other way, the citizen tends to step back.
Yes.
Don't discuss in public politics. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because they feel it could come back on him. And people like Smurf or Robert, they are just the beginning of what is going to happen to all of us. That's my personal feeling.
Quite chilling. You mentioned something. This might be quite a simple question, but you did mention something earlier that you didn't know about that this even existed. But so, I didn't know either.
Shameful.
I knew about Minority Report, because I've seen
but
it.
But this is science fiction. See, this is what I mean. This is science fiction. You look at it, great story, great movie, and suddenly you find a very small note in a newspaper that says, yes, it's happening.
Hmm. But why don't we know about it?
Why should they? I mean, Google doesn't speak about how they are observing us and using our data and predicting our behavior. Facebook wouldn't do it. So they are private consumer algorithms that are working already since years to predict what we are going, thinking, wanting, consuming, and so forth. And now the police is taking over this type of prediction and says, what do you want? It's just another tool. But it's not that easy, because we have to ask ourselves if we want to live in a society of permanent surveillance and if we are ready to trade privacy for security.
I want to talk a little bit about the filming now, just for the final questions. First of all, how long did this documentary take you to make?
The making itself was 1 year, but from the idea to premiere, 3 years.
All right. And did you encounter any challenges?
The biggest challenge for us was in the beginning, how do you tell a story? Because we didn't want to make a news film, you know, this is happening there. So how do you? So when we had Robert and Smurf, we knew we can break down this very abstract reality of big data, algorithms, computers. We can break it down to social experience, and that's why the film works, because it has this feeling. Yeah, it could be me. It could be me. It's not today, but it could be me. And these two boys, very intelligent, and it's a shame for a society to waste talent like that, because they will never have any chance to do anything. But very intelligent young men who know very well where they are, who they are, and why they are in this social condition. So this was the biggest challenge, to find this narrative structure. We had these two guys, and was it in terms of visuals, which is a very, very sophisticated approach we have chosen with my camera man. And academics wouldn't talk about algorithms they are developing. They don't. They just refuse. They don't want to talk about their work. And the police, at the other hand, is very open-minded because they love this technology. So in Chicago, there were no problem at all. In Fresno, there was no problem at all because they say this is a technology that's helped us to prevent crime.
But so it's very digital-centric. How do you think it will develop then once it hits the...
You mean the whole development or specifically the film?
Yeah, the film and the debate around it, I guess. How will it develop?
See, we started a cinema release in Germany in October, yeah. And to be honest, it didn't hit the box, so to speak. I had screenings of 20. And so it's not necessarily a film that people would say, okay, I want to go to the movies, let's have a look at this film. So we changed the strategy. We are now making events around data, questions of data or privacy with experts, screening the films, having discussion after. That works very well. And what I learned, the most surprisingly, you know, for us as filmmakers, this film opens communication and dialogue. Yeah. And I have had discussions with police officers and people from NGOs and just ordinary people like us. And that's what I said in the beginning. This question, did you stage the whole film? No, we didn't. This is reality. So when we accept, and that is why we ended the film with this idea of we are living in a matrix. Yeah. If we accept the matrix and living in a matrix and being shaped by technology and technological development, only then we can stand up and look around and say, okay, what are we going to do?
Thank you very much for joining us. Very interesting.
I thank you very much. Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.